on my theme from this morning, and we were talking about serving with the Spirit, and we're going to take a look at Romans 1:9, where we were this morning, and try to look at a little fuller exposition of it. Now, this was done on a computer up in Michigan, and this is the one that I felt like the Lord didn't want me to preach this morning. But I feel pretty good about it tonight, so I think it's the one he wants me to present tonight. Serving with your spirit in the gospel of his Son. For God is my witness, Romans 1:9, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now when it says, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, I'm interested in I serve with my spirit. Now, in the gospel of his Son is a general term for everything that has to do with the teachings and the good news that are involved about Christ, both the things of salvation and the things that come afterwards in our own personal life as we grow in grace. It's a learned activity. Preachers have to learn it. Deacons have to learn it. Everybody has to learn it, and nobody is exempt from it. You see, before we're saved, we walk as men. When you find that expression, when Paul is getting all over the church at Corinth, he says that you walk as men, for you're jealous, you're envious, there are divisions. So the expression, walk as men, is the same thing as walking carnally. Now, after you're saved, something happens. Christ comes into your life, into your soul, into your heart. Your old man is crucified with Christ. Unfortunately, he's still in your flesh, and there's a tremendous battle that goes on for domination in your life. About 1979, 1980, I did a series on this, and like everything else, I ran it in the ground. It was about that thick. And I got the idea from a fellow named Solomon, and it was about domination or control of your life. Now, once you get saved, whatever you do in your service for Christ must not be with the flesh. It must not be directed by the old nature. It must be with the Spirit. And since you do not have the Spirit of Christ until you're born again, then this is something that happens in your life as your spirit grows stronger and stronger by hearing the Word of God. You learn more and more to do what you do for Christ, and less for yourself. Now let's take a look at Matthew 26, 35 through 41. Here's an example of the first New Testament church. And they were, as you and I are, members of one of his churches. You see here a contrast between doing things with the Spirit in the work of the Lord and letting the flesh control your life. Matthew 26, 35 through 41. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. Now, I realize that when you pick up that prayer request list out there and you look at it, thoughts go through your mind. I also know for a fact that in every one of your minds, as in mine, the thoughts that go through your mind are directed by your flesh, your own nature, and they are directed by your spirit. With those two minds in you, you're going to be thinking some thoughts about that prayer list that are not very spiritual. And you're going to be thinking some thoughts that are spiritual. And it's going to be difficult at times for you to do what you should in prayer, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's a learned activity. Now, you say, well, here was the Son of God. Why did he go and pray? Well, I tell you what, if he went to pray and he never knew sin until he took mine and his body on the tree, and he was God's Son with direct power to perform miracles, to raise the dead, to actually produce bread and fish and multiply it, if he was able to do all these things, to walk on water, and he felt it necessary to go and pray, I certainly think we ought to. I certainly think I ought to. And I certainly think that what this is an illustration of his character and him in complete submission to God. Now let's be honest with God and with ourselves. You have a carnal nature in your flesh. But just the mental awareness of that is a nice thing to have, but you need to act on it. Now the more you pray and the more you communicate with God, the more you're confessing to God and to yourself, I need spiritual help. I need spiritual power. I need God's wisdom. I need God's advice. I need God's power. I need God's guidance. I need the things that God has that I don't have. And so surely, if Jesus, who said he did all things by his Father, he said, I don't do these works. They're done by my Father. Then if this man, as perfect as he was and is and always shall be, felt it necessary to pray, certainly you and I should make a prayer life become a living, functioning part of our everyday existence. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He became acutely spiritually aware that for the first time he was going to be separated spiritually from his Father, as he, the Son, bore the sins of men in his human body on the cross, and to be separated from a heavenly Father of which he had been a living, functioning part for all eternity, and to be separated for that interval of time where he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, was perhaps the most frightening thing that ever, it is the most frightening thing spiritually that ever happened to any man. And it was extremely difficult for him to bear. He bore it because as the Son of God, he was empowered to bear it, but he prayed much about it. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But as you know, in the end he said, nevertheless, not as my will, but as thy will be done. The perfect man submitted his will to the perfect Spirit, which indwelled him in all its fullness as the living, functioning part of one God, in whom are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God, for this reason, resurrected him from the dead and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of this man Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now, I was, you know, a man's going to meet his pastoral responsibilities somewhere, some way. And I know it may be hard for you to accept, and I know there are some of you that would rather have me here. Of course, some of you would probably rather have me gone. But at these churches I go to, they don't know what a fumbling bunny bum I am. They don't know what a nincompoop I am. And so when I'm just there a week or two, they don't know I'm incompetent, and they have confidence in me. And thank the Lord they don't know how incompetent I am. But what happens frequently, I end up doing counseling all week long. And last week there was a young lady that came to me, and she had joined the Baptist church there in Michigan. And she came and she was talking about some problems that she was having at home. And she made the statement to me during the counseling session, which lasted for some time. She said, oh, I wish I could just have been back there with Jesus. Okay, I said that to say this, not to put her down, but to illustrate a point. I get that a lot. And you see, if you could be transported back in time, and you could be in this garden with Peter and James and John, and you knowing what was going to happen in advance, and you knowing that Jesus was displeased with them, it's very easy to say, oh, well, that's no problem. I would have stayed awake. Do you know what part of them went to sleep? Their flesh, the nature in their flesh. It's weak. It went to sleep. You say, I would have stayed awake. Well, quite frankly, I tend to think the same thing. Now, let's transfer that into reality. And findeth them asleep. Why do you think the Lord kept telling the first New Testament church concerning his second coming, watch, 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 over and over again, watch, 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 watch. We get so tied up in our jobs, in our lives, in the everyday functions of things that we face, that we keep our mind occupied constantly with all the things around us, and we don't have the prayer life that we should have. you should pray. I should pray. And every time the urge hits us, we should take time to pray and to communicate with God. I'm not telling you to get down on your knees in your office where people can see you. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you, when the urge hits you somewhere, to pray as you're going and to pray with an attitude of, I need God's help. No matter what happens, we need to pray. Now, why did they go to sleep? Well, and findeth them asleep. It was the flesh. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, into testing. Now, why should you do that? Pray that the testing will be gotten through by the power of the one whom you are praying to, and have confidence in his ability to get you through it and get you out of it. When you ask him that you enter not into temptation, you're not saying, Lord, don't ever let me be tested. Don't ever let me try. Don't ever let me be put to the test. You're not praying that. What you're doing is praying to God that as you enter into this temptation, that God's strength that you have derived from him and your faith and confidence will allow you to pass through it as though it was no great temptation, it was no great testing, but you have actually entered into it, and by the power of Christ, you have gotten through it. Why did they go to sleep? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's not a one of you sitting here in your service for Christ that hasn't done things for God. You've attempted to do it in the flesh. Well, quite frankly, you'll continue at times to do it in the flesh, but at least you'll be aware of it. And to be able to distinguish between which is which that's leading you is what this is all about. I ran this series in the ground back there in 79 and 80. I think I even went into 81. And what I talked a lot about was what's pleasing to God and what isn't pleasing to God. And we're talking about doing what you do with the Spirit. Now, after a person gets saved, they have the Spirit of Christ living in them. And if he's the center of their life, this is pleasing to God. Self is supposed to be crucified. But it's something that, as one preacher said, you know, sometimes that old self keeps slipping off the cross and getting back on the throne of our lives. Once you get saved, you've got Christ living in you. Now the question is, are you going to let self sit on the throne of your life, in the center of your life, and control your actions? You say, well, how do I do that? Just say, Lord, please come on in here and control my life. Well, that's a good thing to pray. But after you've prayed it, study God's word and find out what Christ is like, and study his life and find out what he did. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. That's salvation. You come to Christ, he gives it. Here's what this is talking about. Take my yoke upon you. Put your neck in my yoke, in the area of my service, and pull in this yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You want Christ to be the center of your life? And learn from me is what it says, epi, or of. Learn from me. For I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What are you talking about? Control of your life. When it says, I am meek and lowly, start being obedient. That's what meekness means. And don't think highly of yourself, and realize that your strength has to come from God, and the spiritual power of God is what saves the soul. And you learn these things from Christ, and pretty soon, Christ is sitting on the throne of your life, and you're taking the information that he taught you, and you're putting it to practical advantage, because you know what you're supposed to do, you know what Christ would do, and then you act on what you know, and Christ gets the honor and glory. And it wasn't you who did it. You didn't walk as a man. You didn't walk carnally. You walked in Christ. You walked with Christ. Paul said, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. And he did serve with his spirit. Now, he's talking about the newfound spirit that God gave him. He didn't let self rule his life. I think Christ taught him for over 3 years in the Arabian desert, the wilderness there. And I think that he learned from Christ how Christ functioned and what Christ wanted. And I believe the man did it. Now, this is repugnant to God. We've just shown you the life of a child of God and how that pleases God. For self to be put off the throne, to be put out of the area of control, and for Christ to have control of your life, that's pleasing to God. This is repugnant to God, where you have self sitting on the center and Christ is pushed off in the corner. You are not supposed to let sin reign in your life. This is Christ in the center of your life. That doesn't mean you won't ever sin, but it means that he is to be the spiritual guider of your life, and in every incident in your life, you're supposed to turn it over to Christ and let Christ lead you out of the problem you're in, the temptation you're in, and strengthen you, and then you live for Christ, and Christ gets the glory because he did it, but you crucified self that day, and you did it daily. Now, this is what many of God's children do, even after they're saved and join churches. Self. You can serve Christ from self, but don't expect anything for it. I know Missionary Baptist preachers. I preached one revival for one. He was saved. He'd been serving Christ. He preached the same gospel I preached. He preached salvation by grace, securing the believer. He preached the same doctrine I preached. And he preached it perhaps better than I do, which is no big deal, but he did. And he was lost. He was lost. Why? Because a lost man can preach what God says and never take it to his heart and never accept it and never have anyone inside him but himself. When Christ comes into his life, then there's a battle. What about this church member that drops out of church? You look at his life and you say, I don't believe he was ever saved. Well, he may not have been, but there are a lot of them that self dominates the reason that they preach, the reason that they teach, even the reason they come to church, and it's self, 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 sitting on the throne of their life. Paul said, I serve God, and he said, I serve the Lord with my spirit. To be open and honest with you, the preacher that teaches this gets the benefit out of it. Because as Christ dominates your life, you learn to do what you do for Christ, and you're not always trying to get him to motivate you. You have so much time in your life that you're trying to please Christ, you don't watch him that closely, and you're more concerned about what Christ is doing in your life than in looking at all his faults and mistakes. Now, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes into your heart, into your soul, and you got self, and you got God, and you got a new life. That's why he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You want a short definition of what mammon is? It's spelled S-E-L-F. That's what John was talking about in the BTC lesson. That's what mammon is. It's self. What is self like? It likes money. It likes prestige. It likes attention. It likes recognition. It likes all the people that love it, and all the things of the world it craves after and it loves. And so if you want it to preach the gospel and give it enough attention, pay it a high enough salary, give it a job that's fairly easy where it doesn't have to do much, it'll serve God, and it'll serve God willingly because it gets its reward right here. But the truth of the matter is, you can't serve self and you can't serve God. You've got to serve one or the other. And you can't serve them both at the same time. So make sure that as the decisions come into your life, you serve the Spirit of God and do what you do, as Paul said, with my spirit. Serve with your spirit. If you serve with your spirit, you're growing spiritually. If you don't serve with your spirit, you're just continuing in the same erroneous way, letting self dominate your life. Notice what he says at the end of Matthew 26:35-41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Every one of you has a weak, sinful flesh. And every one of you that knows Christ as Savior has his spirit living inside you. And you want to do right. That's the mind of Christ. But many times you don't. Why? You let self, the flesh, sit on the throne of control of your life. And when you do that, You may do what the Bible says, but you're doing it for the wrong reason, and your intrinsic motivation is wrong, and you get nothing for it, and down the road it's going to cause you a lot of problems. Well, how do you learn to do spiritual things? Luke 2:49. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? You need to learn what you're here for. The Spirit is very clear on this, and your spirit understands this quite well. The mind of Christ is this, that I must be about my Father's business. You are to be about your Father's business. And your Father's business is clearly outlined in His Word. If you concentrate heavily on learning how your spirit is to function in pleasing your Master, who is the head and foundation of the church, you won't have a lot of time in your thoughts for the things of the flesh, and you'll be so occupied and consumed in carrying out the will of God in your life that Christ sitting on the throne of your central control in your inner man will be occupied to the extent he'll be so preoccupied with doing what God wants, he won't have time to look at those things you see, the faults in the others, and you won't have that beam in your eye anymore. You'll be too occupied with serving Christ for the right reason to turn all your problems over that you see in other people to those who have a little speck that looks like a beam to you. Philippians 2:5. Let. When you talk about Paul serving with the Spirit, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what kind of a mind did he have? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That's spiritual. You can't serve God in mammon, and you can't serve God in the flesh. And most people, after they get saved, they never learn. All their life, well, I come to church, I've been here, I do this, I do that, I, and they go on and on and on and on and on and on. And they may come to church 3 times a week. They may give 10% of all they possess. I. They're cantankerous. They're difficult to live with. They never do grow in grace. And yet they're doing all the mechanical things. But when you're about your Father's business, your Father's business is the salvation of lost souls. But it's also the changing of your life and your attitude and your outlook and your perspective, and to get self off the throne of your life and to install Christ there and to have the attitudes and outlook and perspective that he had. And you cannot serve God in mammon. You cannot serve God in self. You may do the right thing according to the scriptures, and yourself may have done it, but you're not serving God when you do it, because you're not serving him in the spirit. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Zechariah 4:6. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, who was the governor at that time, in the reestablishment of Jerusalem and the building of the temple after the return from Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah and Ezra were the scribes, and Zechariah was the prophet. Notice what he said. Not by might, meaning the might of the flesh. What happened to the first New Testament church? Well, John was making a point about Peter being converted. He talked about it in the lesson. You ought to come to BTC. This is good stuff he's putting out. And he's really excited about it. And I think he'd be more excited if all of you showed up. Well, what happened? Not by might of man's power. Not by the power of the flesh, because that's weak. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. When a preacher finally comes to the point in his life, when a Sunday school teacher finally comes to the point in his or her life, that they say, Lord, I need your help and your spirit and your strength. They finally get off their hobby horse and believe they've got some exceptional talent or they've got some ability that's going to cause this to be more successful. And they just start studying and trusting the Lord and praying and asking him for help. Then they've gotten self off the throne and they've got Christ back on. But it's something that you have to work on every day. You have to crucify that old man every day. You have to push him off into a corner and you have to turn to the Lord and say, I want you on that throne. And you've got to study the Word, as John emphasized in VTC. You all ought to come to that. It's worth staying. It's more than worth coming here. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's all by the Spirit of God. God's Spirit could do marvelous and wonderful things with this church if we would start learning how to serve God with the Spirit and get rid of a lot of our carnal selves sitting on the throne of our lives and start looking to God to give us a spiritual insight as to what life is all about. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's a spirit. You've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. When you try to serve God in the flesh, folks, you're missing the mark. You've got to serve him in the spirit. You need to start doing what you do for the honor and glory of God. And if you're the type of person that people have to beg and plead and mollycoddle and just do to get you to do something for the Lord, and you're the type of person that just says, well, I've had enough of this and I'm going to quit, and you get disgusted with it all because of what you see me do or what you see other church members do or something that goes on around you, my friend, you have never learned to do what you do for God with the Spirit. And Paul did. Don't let what people do and what goes on around you influence you. Let the Spirit influence you and start learning to work for God and have your satisfaction in believing that you follow the teachings of his word, which his Spirit gave, which is truth, and let your soul feel good because you did it for the Lord and you did it with your Spirit. And you don't have to be motivated. You don't have to be bragged on. You don't have to have your way. You get self off the throne of your life and let Christ take over your life and live his life in you. Matthew 14:26-27, and it's 5 minutes to late. So Lord willing, I'll just continue with this, unless the Lord leads me otherwise. This is a concept that is vitally important. Like everything else, when I did this before, as I'm notorious for doing, I just ran it in the ground. But don't expect me to change. Once I get on a subject, I just can't get off of it. Now, we're preaching through the book of Romans. Over and over again, you're going to see this principle that John is indicating in his BTC lessons. He's showing very clearly what God wants from you. He wants you to get self off your throne, willingly turn your life and eyes and light and heart toward Christ, and letting him gradually transform and take over your life. You know that man that couldn't stay awake in the garden and those others? Do you know that we're often put the blame on Peter for the cock crow and all that? And we look back at Peter and we say, yeah, Peter said, Lord, I'll follow you to death. Well, you know, the next little verse after that says, and so said they all. It wasn't just Peter. They were all serving him in the flesh. They walked after him in the flesh. And he knew that. Listen, thank God he let me serve him in the flesh, and thank God he still does. And I'm not standing up here telling you I won't serve him in the flesh again. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, I now know the difference. And so now that we know the difference, come to BTC. Listen to what it's got to say. Some of the older members here, you went through all this. But Lord, that was back in 79 and 80, and most of you weren't even members of this church. You need this. John, I think, is doing a better job than I did when I went through it. So come and listen to it, because it's what it's all about. See, when you serve God in the flesh, you're either going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. And I spent a large part of my life walking in the flesh, serving God. And I didn't really start learning about letting Christ rule in my life until late 70s, early 80s. Been learning ever since. Still learning. There's still lots of times in my life that things happen, and before I know it, I'm doing what God wants. But I'm getting a lot of feedback to the flesh. It's making my flesh feel real good. And he doesn't mind serving God as long as he gets something out of it. But I tell you, the only real joy that a person can ever have in this life is when they just do what they do because Christ is in their heart. And if Christ had only done things because he got recognition, praise, or attention, we'd have never made it. Do you know, he went through his life. He was rejected. He was scorned. He was laughed at. He was ridiculed. But he did what he did. And there was never one time in his entire life that God wasn't on the center of his life and dominating him. And the man continually submitted to the Father. You know, Jesus had a self. He really did. Jesus had a self. It was a perfect self. But he had a self. He really did. Do you know what that self did? He just pushed self off the throne. And every time he was tempted, and he was tempted all of his life, every time the temptation came, he'd push self off the throne. And he'd say, no, I won't do that. And here's what we'll do. He made some very hard, difficult decisions. He could have been the most popular man who ever lived. And he could have been the king of Israel right then and there in the flesh. But that wasn't his role. And he did what he did because it wasn't the man's will, but the Father's will. And when he faced the ultimate test, and the man was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he realized that for the first time he was going to be separated from his Father, and he realized for the first time he as a man was going to know our sins, he pushed self aside and said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." You say, well, our self's not perfect. That's exactly what John's talking about in BTC. That's exactly what Paul's talking about when he said, "I serve with the Spirit." We got a flawed carnal nature, but I tell you, we got a perfect man, a perfect spirit, a perfect being living inside us, and we got a new spirit. And by cracky, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if I want him on the throne of my life, and I'll let God know that, and I'll want that, God will give me more help than I know what to do with. So let's get our priorities right. And let's start trying to let Christ rule in our hearts and life, and let's let the Spirit of Christ push him to one side, and let's put God first in our hearts and lives, and let's serve God and not self. As the